Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, and follow the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. Another day coming up for the midday show live at Eagles training camp. Tune in, 94 WIP on your radio, YouTube, of course, and the Odyssey app. Before we get into the episode today, and I'll remind you guys as we go through, leading through this pre-sale here, my book, I did write a book. You may have heard me talk about it a little bit or post about it. What If? Tackling the Biggest Unanswered Questions in Philadelphia Sports History. What If? phillybook.com. The website is live now. You can go and pre-order it. Free shipping and personalized signatures, autographs, whatever you want to write in there. I could personalize it for you for all the pre-sales, over the next month or so. So hop on now, whatifphillybook.com. Happy to get you a copy over there. Thank you for considering, buying the book. Of course, listen to the pod, and we have a lot to talk about today. And I want to dive into a certain player that is clearly turning heads in training camp here. And I think some of this has been just opportunity-based because someone has to be out there. And right now, the top two guys at this particular position are out with hamstring injuries. But that being said, just because you have an opportunity doesn't mean you excel, doesn't mean you turn heads. I mean, you could just be there. I mean, there's plenty of guys at plenty of camps that are just there, just kind of camp bodies, just playing, just taking up space or time or reps. But that's obviously not what's happening here in Philadelphia. Because every time I talk to anyone who is studying camp and reporting live on the ground and seeing play to play, one of the names that keeps coming up over and over and over again is second-year wide receiver Darius Cooper. The Tarleton State product a year ago showed out in training camp a little bit and then in the preseason and, became a guy that was like, whoa, maybe there's something there. But then, as the season, arrived, he didn't play that much. He's behind A.J. Brown. He's behind Devontae Smith. He's behind Jahan Dotson. He's behind, two stars and a former first-round pick. He's not going to get on the field, much. The Eagles stayed relatively healthy at wide receiver. I mean, A.J. missed a couple games, but relatively healthy. And they also were a team that struggled to throw the football, struggled to stay on the field. They didn't have a ton of passing reps throughout the season. They were 23rd in NFL in passing, and he's a rookie. So he didn't get on the field much. Plus, the Eagles use three wide receivers on most plays. They're not a four wide receiver gun team a lot. Four or five wide receivers let the quarterback survey the field. That's not what they were. So it was pretty understandable, reasonable, why the opportunities were limited for Darius Cooper. They may not be as limited this year. And I feel like the Eagles are far less married to anybody in their receiving core short term, other than Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith's the only one that I could guarantee is going to get a ton of snaps each week. Now, I think Da'Tavion Wicks had a great first week of camp, got himself on the radar, likely to be the opposite starting wide receiver week one against the Commanders because of the issues with Mekhi Lemon right now. But after that, I mean, Hollywood Brown's a vet, sure, and he's done some good things in the NFL, and he's a former first-round pick all the way back in the day, but he's kind of in that teetering spot in his career where, I don't know. I mean, I could see him starting five games. I could also see him having 24 catches and not doing much. 24 total catches, not doing much, not having much of an impact. I don't know about Hollywood Brown. I'm not buying the Elijah Moore thing. I'm seeing that he's in at the slot a lot with Mekhi Lemon out. I'm not buying it. Elijah Moore has been in the league a while. I don't see it. And then there's the Mekhi Lemon factor, who he's banged up and he's behind and he's a rookie. And those things do not help him get on the field. I also think the prevalence of two tight end sets the Eagles are going to use is going to cut into what you would have imagined the snaps would have been for Mekhi Lemon. Let's say Mekhi Lemon was on last year's Eagles or the year before his Eagles. And he was on a team that primarily operated out of three wide receiver sets. I think Lemon would have played a lot as a rookie, assuming health. I don't think that's the case anymore. So there's clearly an opportunity here in this wide receiving core to take off. And if you could become something. And
I don't think there's going to be a pecking order of, well, the first round pick's going to get the chance to do that. I don't think so. I think the Eagles are going to go about this a very holistic way, and the best receivers are going to get snaps, and the most productive receivers are going to get snaps. The other thing working in Darius Cooper's favor, aside from just being on the field right now and making a lot of plays here and getting comfortable and getting a rapport with the quarterback of the football team, Jalen Hurts, is that he is a good blocker. That was one thing that Nick Sirianni pointed out about Darius Cooper a year ago, and it's obvious now. It was obvious then. He's a big, thick receiver. He's not in the same class, clearly, as A.J. Brown, but if you're looking for a body type that reminds you a little bit more of A.J. Brown than the other guys they have, it would be a Darius Cooper. So you add all this stuff up. You think back to last preseason where he shined. And I'm not going to be surprised if Darius Cooper gets on the field this year and makes a place for the Eagles. And if he does, and if Darius Cooper is a player, it changes the math for the Eagles' present and future. Let's live in a world for a second here where Darius Cooper could play. Play. Like be an NFL caliber productive wide receiver. And you could pick out a guy that maybe he could remind you of, or he could produce like, if you're, you know, you're big into fantasy, you could probably think of two or three, you know, fantasy type of receivers that you're like, oh yeah, maybe he could be like him, not a superstar, but a good player. And if that's the case, if he has the ability to put up starting level production or contributor level production, if he has that ability, it changes a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's go through the things it could clearly change. Number one, it could make them a better football team right now. More weapons, more options, more places to go with the football. Better football team right now. Number two, long term, it makes this receiving core, which right now, you know, feels very uneven or unsure of the future or up in the air as to what it's going to look like in the next 2 years. Ideally, DeVonta Smith takes a leap. He becomes a bona fide top 10 receiver or, you know, top 12 receiver in the NFL, no doubt. If there's people that think he could be in that class, people think that he's probably more like 20 or one, or, you know, a top 20-ish receiver. I think he could be closer to top 10 by the time the season ends. I'm a big DeVonta Smith fan. But that's best case scenario. DeVonta takes that leap. Mekhi Lemon could play. Now you have two receivers. And then, you know, a Da'Tavion Wicks on one more year after this year. That's kind of heading into this moment, the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is, you know, DeVonta Smith shows he's the same guy he's always been, which means he's fine. He's probably more like a 1B, not a high-end number one. And if you want to have a high-end passing attack, maybe you need to get another receiver. Mekhi Lemon, the questions persist. Injuries, size, ability to get on the field. And that B word is thrown out all over again that we did, you know, years ago when the Eagles were trying to draft receivers high in the draft. And Da'Tavion Wicks just stays the player he's been for a lot of his career in Green Bay, which is up and down, part of a committee, nothing special. Well, if that's the case, if it plays out like I just kind of articulated there, well, then the Eagles are going to be in the market for a receiver next offseason. Just like they were, you know, years ago when they drafted Devontae and traded for A.J. Brown. They're not going to just sit on this kind of receiving core into the future if it doesn't show a lot of promise. They're going to make it better. So there is the I guess you'd call it a probable scenario or a potential scenario that I just laid out. And then there's the best case scenario, which is Devontae's awesome. Lemon could play. But now let's throw Darius Cooper in there. I think about this receiving core, if Darius Cooper can play and play at a level to where you're like, oh, whoa, there might be something for real there. If that's the case, then you could have DeVonta Smith, a no doubt about it, potential number one, okay? You could have Darius Cooper emerging as a second-year dirt-cheap receiving option for the Philadelphia Eagles. You could have Mekhi Lemon on the second year of a rookie deal. You could have Wicks on a pretty team-friendly deal for 2027 because he signed the extension as soon as he walked in the door this year. I mean, you could have all of those things. That's a pretty, pretty favorable receiving core to have entering next offseason. And I'll tell you, when you think about everything with this receiving core and the future and the first round pick potentially next year, you know, the Eagles have a lot of decisions to make long term on money, on where they're going to outlay their capital. And, you know, it would really, after spending the pick this year on Mekhi Lemon, it would really, really be a great thing for the Eagles if they don't have to go into next year's draft and even think about wide receiver. And I think that's the best case scenario. That includes Lemon. But I'm going to throw Cooper in there as well, because that could give them three or four good options on really team-friendly deals. Even if they gave Devontae a contract extension or raise after this year, which is certainly possible, you still could have one of the more team-friendly, one of the more cheap, one of the more affordable receiving cores in the NFL after the season if you do it that way. A comp I could give you, and this is, it's a big one. You'll remember the name because he was on a team in the division and he got really good and famous pretty quickly. The breakout game actually here against the Eagles back in 2011. You know, you go back to that Giants team, Eli Manning, 2010-11, you know, that group where they won their second championship. They had a Mario Manningham who they drafted, relatively high in the NFL draft. Hakeem Nicks, they drafted high in the first round of the NFL draft. But what completed that team, what gave them enough to go over the top with a passing offense with Manning, was the emergence of Victor Cruz out of nowhere to become one of the more productive receivers in the NFL. And it's a similar story to a Darius Cooper in that, you know, out of nowhere, small school, you know, not a significant draft pick of any sort, not a draft pick. And then he had a decent first training camp and preseason, and he kind of got on the radar a little bit in the NFL. And you're like, And then blew up in the next year, and the Giants go win the Super Bowl. Miles Austin, another one in the division, went to college near where I grew up. He went to college at Monmouth University. And Miles Austin, of course, you know, became a star with the Dallas Cowboys. So once in a while, you get these guys from smaller schools, wide receivers, but they could play. And once they could play, it changes the math on the football team, because receivers are not typically guys that you get either dirt cheap or don't have to draft high. I mean, you may get a guy that comes out of nowhere or a second or third round pick that overachieves, like a Cooper Kupp, but it's pretty rare to find those guys that are out of nowhere stars. And I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that I know Darius Cooper's going to be a star. I know this. When Elias Shore Parks does his camp player of the day, the standout of the day, it's two times now, this training camp, that Darius Cooper, I believe, has got that award. I'm not saying it's everything. I'm also not saying it's nothing. It's pretty darn cool that Darius Cooper has gotten recognized to that degree for being this kind of player right now. And I'm excited to watch him to see if they put him out there in the preseason. And I do think the Mekhi Lemon injury could kind of open the door. One other thing to just kind of keep in the back of your mind. You know, the process is the process. The results are the results. And ultimately, all that matters is that the Eagles get the results right. And I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that Mekhi Lemon is done and he's a bust. I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that Darius Cooper is a superstar. But, you know, if I say to you, this high pick doesn't work out, your first instinct is probably, well, we're screwed. Unless, of course, a later pick in a similar range, player, position, similar time period works out. I'm going to give you two infamous examples in Eagles history. In 2011, the Eagles selected Danny Watkins in the first round. It was a disaster. I mean, as bad of a bust as you're ever going to have in the NFL. But they also selected Jason Kelsey in the sixth round of that same draft. So they walked away with a pillar building block lineman from that draft. Was it as seamless as we thought? No. Was it the one we thought it would be? No. But that's the bottom line calculus. 2019, as the Eagles tried to replace Jason Peters, they draft Andre Dillard in the first round. Well, it turns out that another young left tackle was developing at that time and became the guy that Dillard was supposed to become. His name is Jordan Mailata. These are just names on the sheet. But they had their left tackle of the future. And again, Lemon could be great. Cooper could be great together. But if Lemon is, you know, if you're trending towards or thinking this is not going to work out, or it's got an ominous kind of dark cloud over at the start. Well, if Darius Cooper turns into a star, doesn't that replace A.J. Brown? You know, the object of this is to replace A.J. Brown. The object was to replace Jason Peters. The object was to have the next big-time interior offensive lineman for the Eagles. The Eagles achieved all these different times. It may sometimes just not be the guy you think it is, as long as they find the guy. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. What if PhillyBook.com is the website for my book. Check it out. Pre-orders going on right now. It ships out in early October. Excited for you to read it. And free shipping with all pre-orders right now on the site. WhatIfPhillyBook.com. We're live at camp today. Eagles defensive tackle Jordan Davis will join us after practice. We have a lot to discuss and excited to be here at Eagles practice today on Tuesday, August 11th. We are just about a month till the start of the NFL regular season. I cannot wait. We'll talk to you on the Midday Show. Thanks so much for listening to WIP Daily.